So when the police come, he say, hey, go ahead and sign this paper right here and tell me what happened. So when I reached out to sign the paper, he grabbed my arm. He's like, put your hands behind your back. I'm like, what? Put your hands behind your back. So I'm like, all right. So he arrests me, and I get in the car, whatever, and I'm like, this ain't over with. I'm riding to the jail, and I start panicking in the back, and I fake the heart attack. I start catching a seizure in the back seat, and the paramedics knew I was bullshitting. But it's protocol. When something's wrong with your heart, they gotta treat you.
Yeah.
So, and I was aware of that from county jail and being in locked up. And I was really angry, but I had a plan. And the plan was stupid, but it was funny to me. I'm handcuffed to the bed. So I asked the officer, I said, you ever been in military? He's like, nah. So I was like, you ever played sports? He's like, never. I said, so if a man unarmed was running from you, would you shoot him in the back? He said, absolutely not. I said, you're a good officer. But right then there at that moment, I knew he was a sucker. And I was gonna get him.
Don't touch anything.
It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.
Welcome to The Real Deal with me, Larry Lawton. We got a great show today. We are back in studio, and we have a great guest. We have Teddy King.
Petty Teddy King.
My homeboy from EG.
He just got out of the joint.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can cheer that on, everybody. Yes, I love it. First of all, before I get started, this great show, we're having some great shows lately. We got Sam in the studio again, my partner.
What's up?
We got Teddy.
Petty Teddy.
You know Teddy Petty. He's very well known around here, social media. Before he made a misstep, and he went to the route of Larry, and he went away for a little bit.
Many vacations.
That's okay. He's all right. Three times. We're going to get into your story because I love it. But yes, everybody, he's also here with is this your girlfriend, Teddy?
This is my best friend.
Best friend. Right. Oh, man. I love what you just said because I'm into all that threesomes and stuff.
Oh, God. The show ain't even started.
I know. She's pretty. So, hey, listen, we're all freaks down deep now. Let's go. Let's get real. But nah, you guys are great. Teddy, first of all, congratulations. You're out.
Thank you. Number one.
I'm really happy to hear that. I hate to hear people. Listen, we all make mistakes. We all do crazy shit. We all do crap. And when I say mistake, just because you do something doesn't make a mistake. All the dudes who did pot and this shit and then they get caught. I was just on a TV show. You ever hear Jubilee?
No.
Jubilees, they got 8.7 million subscribers. Every video gets millions of views. My video I just did with them got 1 million views in 11 days.
So you did a video with them?
Yeah. I mean, I was on their show. I do a lot of that. I've been on Vlad TV. I've been on, you name them, No Jumper. I've been on all the shows. Dope as Yule. Well, I just went on this show, and it was all convicts. That's what we were, all convicts. And it was a social experiment, so it was pretty cool. You got to look at it, how they did it. And we had to actually rate and judge all of us, each other. You know, we're all been to the joint. Everybody there was a felon. Mm-hmm. So there were 8 of us. Well, then they rate. The show was who did the worst crime. Worst. Now, to me, drugs is not worse, obviously.
Yeah,
so, that's a nothing crime. I tried to win. I went on the show stoned as shit. Let me tell you, you will see it when you watch the show.
The Real Deal.
Oh, it's the real deal. Nick held me back because he goes, if I give you this one more shit, you're done. It's all. And I was bad calling these girls bitches and I was crazy as a fuck. But I don't care. We had a lot of fun doing it. You know what I'm saying? It was really fun, to be honest.
Great.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, but I looked at it like how we rated it was worst crime. So we ended up 8 of us. I kept thinking, okay, let me try it. I think I was trying to win this. I don't know how you win by being a less. But anyway, they ended up voting me the worst criminal there.
Wow. You were. I saw the show.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I tied up 100 people, I guess. I guess that's bad.
In the past. That was
yeah,
in
but
the
that
past.
Was in the bedroom. No.
Whoa.
The, no, we had, listen, it was a social experiment and it was cool. But the one dude there was the longest serving nonviolent pot offender ever in the United States.
How many years?
He did 32 straight years.
That's
for
crazy.
Pot.
For weed.
For pot. He ended up being sentenced to 98 years. In state.
What state?
The state, right here, Florida.
Welcome to Florida.
Yeah. Welcome to
Florida. Teddy, you said it. So he got sentenced to 98 years. He did 32 calendars straight. Good dude. Guess what? Him and I were on. We end up knowing the same people in the joint because he was, you know, we're both feds.
Yeah.
And no, he was state, but we knew, you might even know some of my friends that were in the state. I knew a lot of big guys, Randy Lanier, these are mega drug dealers, and Willie Falcone and stuff that I was friends with. But anyway, he ended up doing 32, so we ended up calling some friends of ours during a break. And we know the same guys talking about being on the same show. But anyway, we weren't supposed to know who each other were, and you're supposed to rate them. So they had one kid who did a drive-by shooting, you know, gang kid when he was 17, they killed somebody. Mm-hmm. They had another kid, burglaries, another kid sold heroin to someone, and they died.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, and then they had a kid who did a DUI with injury, and they had a fraudster, and the pot guy, I mean, there were eight of us.
Weak cases, all of them.
Well, I ended up being the worst criminal, that's what they voted, but... Was I the worst criminal? I don't know, you know. We were all worse. And listen, we all did what we did. You know, I mean, listen, it's not about denial. It's not about what. It's about how we're going to grow up. You're 33. You're young. And I look at 33. Like I said, I got out of prison at 46. And they took $6 million. They took everything. I'm a convicted felon. Bad. I was on organized crime probation. And I look at a young guy like Teddy, and he makes me smile because I love it, to be honest. Listen.
Teddy's sharp now.
Totally. Trust me on that. I told you, Sam. Inmates or convicts, and I'll call a convict. He did 3 spins already. He's fucking a convict. And we used to call kids like him doing life on the installment plan because he's not going to learn it. But hopefully he learns. And he does it. You know what I mean? Like, right. Oh, how long has he got? He's did 10 years. He's been in 3 times. Oh, he's one of those. Like, in, out. They know the county jail system probably better than anybody.
I definitely do.
Yeah. I'm in it, too, because they fuck with me, and I ended up...
It's not fair either, though.
Oh, listen, the whole system's not fair. It's not fair. You know who it's fair for? People with money. If you don't have money and you're a street kid, you get fucked. You know that, Teddy. Teddy, we're going to get into your story because it's an interesting story. Obviously, like Sam said, you're smart. Listen, Sam and I are a little older than you, so we've been around a lot of people. Me more than even Sam, but convict-wise. But Sam's a street guy, so he understands what we're talking about. And kids like, I say kids, you're 33. Like I said, I got out of 46. Man, your whole life's ahead of you. When you turn it around, And it's not that you have to turn your whole... Listen, I party. I do crazy shit.
You do.
Definitely.
But I'm also enough that I'm responsible. I know Saturday comes. I got an event to do, this thing. I'm up doing videos. I like it. You know what I mean? I found something I like to do, Teddy. And I think when you find out your niche, doesn't mean you can't have even other niches and shit. But you're going to realize what's more important... Fuck, I don't want to fucking get caught doing this little petty shit when I'm making good. I'm doing this. I got a business. I'm trying to start. I'm doing... Because most convicts are entrepreneurial in nature. I mean, whether it's rob, you had to figure out how to get rid of it. You had to get a fence. You had to do this. You had to buy drugs. You had to do this. You had to, okay, how am I going to make money? I did it all. I was fucking from... I was just such an opportunist. Wait a minute. You mean I could buy fucking 3 ounces of fucking coke? 32 grams per, 28 grams per ounce, but I'll make it into 32.
That was the past.
It's definitely a business.
All of what we did was a business. Absolutely. If you're smart. Obviously, we do it for different reasons. We're fucked up. We got bravado. We're just stupid. We're followers. We're leaders. Whatever it is. You'll figure it out. You know, most young people will figure it out. Because you don't want to keep going back to prison. It sucks.
Absolutely not.
Being told what to do, when to get up. They put me in the hole for jacking off. I don't know if you knew that. It's in the system. You could look it up. You know that. And absolutely. I'm not on a woman go, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm not, a gunning. You know?
Yeah, that's what they call it for the camera. They call it gunning.
Gunning. Well, tell me what that is, man.
Shut up, Sam. Gunning is when you're jacking off on the girl guard or somebody. I don't care who it is, whatever.
Okay.
Well, I was in my bed. In a single cell at 1 a.m, and a guard come, they locked me up because I was jerking off in my bed. And at a point, who the fuck doesn't jack off?
Unbelievable.
I jack off every day today, and I'm fucking sick. A young lady here, Jack. Of course you do.
We're only human.
I got a lot of toys, too.
Keep it real.
Absolutely real.
That's what
you show me the man who doesn't beat his meat, man. I don't give a shit who you are. I mean that. That's not even being funny. I was sent to the hole and lost 14 days good time, or 28 days good time. I was in the hole for like 60 days. Lost commissary. For jacking. I mean, I sued the prisons. I sued the whole system. Ended up, they kept transferring me, and they ended up changing the policy. You know where they don't do that anymore. You know, get you, because it's a natural. Who, listen, I do it with my, you know, with your girl. You do it. You do it with anybody you want. It's part of fun, man. I mean, anyway, I take a guy like yourself. You're 33, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell the audience what your charges were for all of, like, give a brief. Was it all the same thing? Mm-mm. Okay, give your first charge. So my first, and speak into the mic. Go right into it. Speak.
So up. My first time I went in, I had a attempted murder charge.
Attempted murder. At what age?
19.
19.
Yeah.
Where'd you live?
University Boulevard.
Oh, right up here.
Yeah.
Right here in my backyard, man. I know. Listen, I'm down on Lipscomb all the time, yeah, homie. Listen, I speak at that church. I've been to, you know, of course, Grant Center.
Yeah.
You know, all that. I mean, I speak there. Oh, so you're really from here. That's cool. Okay, so you had attempted murder, just kid shit in the street?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, fight, altercation, you know, he threatens me, doesn't do anything. And I
speak into the mic. You got to come on, Ted. You know this game. You've been on social media.
It's just like simple beef, you know. You send a threat, and then you threaten me. My life's in danger, so I come back, and you wasn't for real, and I was, basically.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's a lesson. Don't open your fucking mouth.
Yeah, for real.
You don't tell. Listen, I tell someone, if I tell you I'm going to kill you, you're probably dead already. Really, I'm not going to threaten you. I'm just going to do it.
Now I look back now, it definitely could have been avoided, and I could have took many precautions, and they were there, and I choose not to. Made a bad decision.
As a young man.
You were also 19. And, yeah. And again, you know, you're from the streets like mm-hmm. I am. So I listen, kids who are from the streets, I respect. It's how, first of all, there's certain, I have, like, you know the codes. I consider code. I don't fuck with old people. You know, you don't fuck around, you know. And I tell a lot of old people, these kids in the street don't understand what ratting is. You and I do a crime, and you tell on me, that's ratting.
Absolutely.
If you rob an old lady and she tells on you, that's not fucking ratting.
Not.
That lady should go to the police, pick you out, because you're the moron
that's right.
who let her fucking see your face.
You deserve a bit of it.
I mean, honestly, I mean, don't, people get it twisted on what ratting is. I went away, and I lost $6 million, and I was offered to keep my money and fucking do a couple of years in prison, and I ended up doing 4 12-year sentences, and they took my money. And it's not because of the, I was the hitman. I was the guy. I was the bad guy. And it wasn't about worried. It was about who I was. It's just not in me. Some people it is, and you know, the streets, they're all ratting on you.
Yeah.
Forget it. Today, all these motherfuckers are being rat on right now.
Absolutely. Best friends ratting on them.
And listen, these cops know who you are. Don't think you're slick. They just don't want to get you yet.
That's right.
And trust me, if you think you're slick, you're not. Whether it's me or anybody, they know there's so many motherfuckers. They call it tell a fucking friend. They call it tell a police, these motherfuckers.
Yes.
But I'm not just saying that to be funny. You know the streets, and you know that.
Absolutely.
So your first case was attempted murder. What did you do for that?
I did 5 years on it. They gave me 6 years.
They gave you 6 years on attempted you know, for a first-time 19-year-old, they could have given you less. They should have gave you less.
There's a long, no, matter of fact, there's a long story to that, because I was a grown man, and I went to trial, and I lost, and that judge actually gave me a second chance.
Good for him, because I hate what they do there. A lot of judges or the prosecutors, they pile on charges, and they say, when you go to trial, if you don't take this deal, you're going to trial, we're going to hammer you for 20. And then, and it's your right. Listen, as a lawyer, it's your right to go to trial. And not be penalized for going to trial.
Absolutely.
You know, so you went to trial.
They stick you more time.
Yeah, oh, and yeah. They shouldn't. The feds are really bad at that, man. Really bad.
My outcome to the end of my trial, you don't see that in this county.
No, especially this county.
Yeah, I'm probably one of the first ones that made it out that way. And they sent me to a youthful offender.
Yeah, prison, well, you were under 24.
Which was
you can
actually,
only go to a youthful offender, Sam, from 18 to 24.
So you had a fair judge.
Yeah.
Who was your judge?
You went far between.
Charles Roberts.
Charlie Roberts?
Yes.
I know Charlie well, man.
Great man.
Very good guy.
I'm not going to lie. You know, I don't like too many of the
100%. Listen, I know all the judges.
He was a great man.
Charlie Roberts is a good guy. He's very fair. He doesn't try to bury you. Listen, I watched him. I also like Charlie Crawford. Charlie Roberts, Charlie Crawford. I know every judge. Sam knows that when I was up there. And what he does is he will call out the police.
Absolutely.
Charlie Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
He will tell him. Will?
Oh,
a lot of them.
I've watched him bury a Palm Bay cops.
Absolutely. That
bullshit what you did. He ended up telling the defense attorney, I want dismissal papers on my desk after lunch. And you, I want to talk to you about putting that man on the stand because you knew he was it was a cop. You know, like he got mad.
I know that situation. And you know what?
He's good, Charlie.
You know what Charles told me at the end of my trial? He said, "You said you know what my job is, Teddy." And I really didn't know. I like to send people to prison. And he's like, "I'm not." He's basically saying, "I'm not on anybody's side." He said, "My job is to protect my society. Yeah. That's my job."
And is he still on the bench? That's a good judge.
He said, "And I will do anything and everything to do so." So that means on both ends, if the police is endangering the society, then he's gonna protect it on that end versus the criminals too. So he
100%
gave me a different outlook on judges. Yeah,
yeah. I know a few good ones. Sam knows them too. They'll come in here. They hang out right here.
Yeah,
I've had them on my show. And
Silverman,
Judge Silverman. I know every one of them. I knew every single judge up there, from the chief judge, which was Dugan at one time. I got to know them all.
Do it again, Dugan.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, I don't have to get into it, you know, how they can bury you. And this county, and, you know, I know the old stories of this county. Who's doing, you know, they fuck. Let's get into that.
Yeah.
But we won't. Your first, so you ended up getting out at 24?
Yes.
About 24?
That's right.
And what was your next charge?
My next charge, I was on committee and control. I had to follow it. Just like a year or something on
you there. Only had 1 year of paper?
He got 6 months probation, 18 months community control.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah,
man.
So
you did good with him. You did good.
I did, and I decided to go somewhere real quick, and I was supposed to be home. And in just that little bit of time, within that hour, my probation officer was at the house, and I wasn't.
Were you on a monitor?
No.
And he knew to do that? Yeah. Do you think somebody said something?
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, you see how easy that was for me?
Yeah.
I knew that like that. Yep. Some guy didn't like you, said, "Hey, this guy's not out. He's, you know," and he's probably a friend. Or thought he was a friend.
Yeah,
I won't get into that.
Yeah,
you know?
So, I made that decision on my own. I wasn't forced to do that.
But he didn't have to tell.
Absolutely not. I would never. You know,
no, I'm saying the guy.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have to do that. Absolutely not. But
that's a jealous motherfucker. Don't want you out there again.
That comes with probation and stuff. Like, you got to watch out for people like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not the police we're looking at no more. It's the people around you. And it's 100%. Sad, but that's where we're at in society.
He's smart. Teddy, you're smart. You know, I was warned by judges. I had about 6 months left on my paper, and I was on bad paper. I was on organized crime paper. So they were up my ass. They used to come into this house, my mother, every crazy shit. And I literally, 6 months before my paper's up, I go to dinner with a judge and a very close friend of mine, and they sat me down. They knew I was getting crazy, having a few drinks here and there. And when I get drink, I don't give, you know, I'm just a normal guy. And at this point, 2.5 years, I already developed the number one program to help young people, the Reality Check program. You probably heard
it. We got
people
the book
heard
right here.
That.
We got the book.
I mean, it's used in this court system right here. You get sentenced to it, you know.
Gangster Redemption.
You know, they get caught. They get sentenced to my program right here in the courthouse.
Wow.
So I have that going. Fucking developed. I'm recognized on the floor of the United States Congress. I'm doing all this good shit. And I still had a probation officer wanted to bury me so bad. I was in the gym. At that time, I was strong, big, young kid. I had 300 pounds on the fucking bag. I used to bench a lot. I was 375, but I had 300 up. I'm out of prison. I'm feeling good. I got weight up. And I look up, and it's my fucking probation. He's got a fucking cup. You know what I mean. He's got a cup in his hand, like,
piss. Let's go.
Piss. That's his first words. Not, "Hey, Larry, piss." I get the fuck. He, like, embarrassed me in front of the whole entire gym. Do all that crap. When did you write this? That was 2012.
Yeah, like two more.
Probably. I mean, but I don't see mine's not scared straight. I never yell at anybody in my life because I don't believe.
Not like that.
Right.
Because like
the reason I don't, first of all, I don't believe in it. You yell at somebody, they put up a barrier, they don't hear you. They have two reactions. If they think they can fight, it'll fight you. If they don't, because you're a big motherfucker, you've been in a joint, it's fight or flight. Mm-hmm. So all they're doing is thinking, "How do I get out of here? I don't want to listen to this fucking jerk off. Fucking, I don't know what the fuck it." And they shut down.
Yeah.
But when I tell them about a story of a kid who in our prison who was on the second tier and he got his ass cut from the top of his anus until his scrotum, and he was raped, and seminal fluid was found, and I read the reports, and I knew him, and I heard the screams. I've had kids come to me 3-4 years later and say, "Man, Mr. Lawton, I'll never forget that story." Wow. Because I'm telling a story, and you know what I mean because you've been in the joint.
Yeah.
Crazy shit happens in those places. You know, did it happen every day? I was in maximum security prisons, and we had the worst of the worst. They said, hey, Larry, you're going to a place, you know, where will you live? I said, I don't give a fuck where I live. And they go, what do you mean? I go, listen, first of all, I grew up in the hood, Bronx. Second, I was in the worst hood in the world called Atlanta Penitentiary, where everybody was a hitman, drug dealer, kingpin, Willie Falcone. I mean, every fucking guy. And everybody's capable of killing you. Everybody. We had 880 lifers. Lifers. Letters.
That means they're never getting out.
Letters. They call it letters. He knows what letters is.
That's right.
You got letters on your jacket. You don't get out until you're fucking dead in the box.
That's right.
And we had 880 lifers out of 2,000. So almost 50% are lifers. Now, get it. Out of that 880, about 200 fight their case. Another 400 fall into, they get a lover, they do this, they, yeah, you know, tattoo, you, they go to
uniform. That's their life, they
yeah,
accept
they go and they do it. And I've been to weddings, and I don't give a shit. I
mean, a wedding in prison?
Absolutely. He knows it. He knows what I mean.
Yeah.
So, and I gave 10 books of stamps.
Yeah, you got the deals going on. Let's get it. Yep.
And then you have 200 that are psychopaths. When I say psychopaths, they could kill you, they'll stab you, they're so hyped up on drugs, they're overdosing every other day, or getting in debt and getting stabbed. And it's just the life we live. And so I look at that and I say to myself, you know, this world is crazy. And I survived it, and you survived it. And you're you know why? I kind of get happy to have guys like you on. I'll tell you why. And you've got to come back. Because I believe in the youth to begin with. You're 33. You made your mistakes. Who knows? You'll make more. But you're not a bad person. I already talked to Sam. I spoke to you already. You can read people when you've been around for a while. And you know that. You're in a prison. You got to almost read them from across the room.
Yeah.
You know, I used to tell people, I could tell you when a fight's happening or something jumping off. You're seeing people with body armor. They put magazines in their stomachs. They're always wearing their shoes or boots. And you look around, you see two guys hanging that don't normally hang. You know what's going down. You can feel tension. I can feel if I felt tension, I'd feel it right away. And I can. I walk into that prison, and I look, flip flops and shit. I ain't worried about this shit. Nothing's coming. I see everybody ready. I know what time it is. Let's rock. I mean, I've been in a lot of prisons, and all Mac. You know, most of mine were Max. But you are a young kid who's done you're doing time. Now you go away for the second time for violation.
Correct.
Okay. How long do you do on that?
Like under 2 years.
2 years. Charlie did that? I mean, he gave you 2 years? The same judge, right?
Yeah.
He would go back.
But what happened was, you know, he told me if I come back here, he's gonna enhance my sentence.
Of course he is, yeah.
But luckily that the way the YO sentence is set up, there's a cap on it. You can't do no more than 6 years in total. So what happened was he violated me on a technical and maxed me out. So I go back and do the whole 6 years again, but I have the time served with what I did originally. So I end up doing under like between 1.5 years, something like that.
Right. And you see, YO sentences, they do that for anybody under 24. I think you can get it up to 24 when I did the sentencing guidelines on that. And it's a way because they realize the kids are not mature yet. You know?
Right.
I mean, they're kids.
They're young. Yeah.
I mean, they're mature in some things and they're not mature in other things. It's just this is what they are. And I'm still that way at 62.
But, no.
So the third time you offend.
So the third time. So I got out and.
What year was this now?
Where we at? I got out in 2016. Yeah, but I got out. So I was out in 2016. So I had a 3-year run of just being in. But in the process of being in prison, I picked up a habit in
okay. And, everybody, to let everybody know, there's more drugs in prison than they're on the street. And what I mean that is if I want heroin, I go to this corner cell. If I want weed, that cell. Coke, that cell. You know, Adderall, that
one
cell.
One stop shop, huh?
Anywhere. And listen, trust me. I mean, there's more shit in the joint. I was with the guy named Marino, head of the Latin Kings. He was paying a guard. He was making 10 grand a month. 10 grand a month on heroin. Yeah, it's so crazy. Especially the prisons we were in, we all had a lot of money. We're all bosses and kingpins and Latin. You know, the feds had a lot of money. And fucking guys are buying $1,000 shit. You know how that is. And it's so crazy. I mean, it's an economy itself. There's bookmaking. There's football tickets. He knows that. So you develop a habit on your second time.
Yes.
Not your first?
No.
Wow. Okay. So you go back.
You got different environments I was in. My first time I was in a wild prison. So
they're sometimes a little violent, those kids. Those,
no,
those
it's way
body
more,
at a camp.
To me, it's more violent than adult prison. So there's no time to do any, have any fun or anything.
It's but it's not, it's not like Florida State. Yeah. And meaning like, you know, up in Stark.
Yeah.
Those places that just kill, you know what I mean? When you get to those places,
mm-hmm.
they're dangerous because there's no fights. They just kill you.
Yeah. And so for the record, too, like my three times in prison, I didn't even join a gang, not good one time. You. So it was all just me. You know what I'm saying? So there was a lot, it was a lot more pressure. So, you know, with that being said, the second time I went to prison, I averged, and when I turned 25, I went from youth offender into adult prison. So now I'm like, man, this is Candyland. I can hang out. Everybody's smoking, this and that.
Oh,
and
yeah. Everything's there you want.
So that's when I got introduced into gambling.
Okay.
And I was in love with it. You know what I'm saying? That was everything.
On the yard, baby. On the yard.
Yeah. And I ate like that. That's how I fed myself. And it was fun.
Were you good?
In there, yeah, I was. So
I watch guys try to cheat, get caught, and get killed.
Yeah.
You know that.
So this is what happened. So I stepped into a world that I knew nothing about, and I got out thinking that I can do the same thing like it was in there, and it wasn't the same. And I didn't have the funds to support it, so I was doing a lot of extra things to do it. And then at that point, I didn't even know I had an addiction or a habit because I didn't know gambling was a habit.
Anything could be a habit. You know that now.
So I was running myself to that. To the very edge, to that point, and you, I had no.
You're an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah,
for sure.
I wasn't conservative at all. I was working a 9-to-5 job, and the stakes that I was trying to do, it just wasn't adding up to what was going in my pockets. So what I did was I took it to another level, and I started doing burglarizing structure. You know what I'm saying? And
I'm sure a ton went through your mind, whether it's drug dealing or whatever.
Yeah, but I drug dealing couldn't support my gambling habit.
Oh,
because it was the gambling was way faster than what the drugs are doing at the time.
So you needed quick hits.
I needed quick hits. Yeah.
Right. So you started doing the old cat burglar stuff.
Yeah. So yeah.
I remember those guys. There was a whole crew doing them.
Yeah. So I had no, you know.
Where were you at?
Here.
Okay, because you know in South Florida, there was a Boca Raton crew that did them. They called them the Balcony Bandits, I think it was, because they were going through the balconies of high rises.
Yeah.
And they were doing that for a while. I knew one of the guys. I was in joint with one of them. He came from state and he had a Fed bit with it. So he ended up doing his state time and then he had to go to the feds.
Okay.
And he was telling us. And I remember when they were doing it because it was in Boca Raton. That's the last one I think he got caught. Yeah. But there were a few crews doing that.
Spider-Man was down there.
Yeah, I didn't know him, but there was other ones like that would do it. They were smart.
Though. Yeah.
They were good guys. They were getting up to the second and third floors and going in, and people were, Jesus, they're crazy. Because they were going outside the balconies, you know. Yeah. Fucking nuts, man. I don't like heights. Man. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm going in with a gun. When I rob shit, I robbed it and I tied everybody up. I ain't playing around.
Yeah.
But so you started doing that?
Yeah.
Around here?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you get any good licks?
Not really.
Listen, did you hit Lansing Island? I got a few addresses for you.
Nah.
Lansing Island.
I got a couple of addresses. I know them. I'll tell you when they're out of town.
Yeah, that's actually a place where we stay away from over there on the beach side.
Oh, yeah. Black kid, Satellite Beach, you're hit.
You're hit. Absolutely.
You stand out like a fucking peach in a banana fucking farm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny. So you were hitting licks and that, and you end up getting caught again.
Yeah. So like you said, basically it became like I didn't even look at it like I wasn't doing anything wrong. That was my support. That's how I invested in myself and made money in gambling.
And I can guarantee you, you're a good guy. I could tell that you're nonviolent. I mean, you did these. You could always be violent. Everybody can be violent, but you didn't do these to be violent.
I'm not a violent person at all.
Well, attempted murder takes that a little bit away.
I guess you could push anybody to that point, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm just fucking with you.
He's fucking with you.
Yeah, no, you know that. Listen, I understand our life. I call it our life, you know. And I don't want you to follow my life because I ended up going away and I beat a life sentence. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So I'm a lucky, you know, I consider myself a really lucky guy.
That's what's up.
And I also know that I got a good heart and I try to help a lot of people. And I always justify it this way, and wrong or right, I hurt a lot of people in my life, but I never hurt anybody who wasn't in my business.
Right.
If you were a drug dealer and you were doing shit in my neighborhood and you were where the mob was, I was the one you were going to run. And I tortured a guy with an iron. I did a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
But you were in my business. You were a drug dealer trying to sell in our area. You were a bookie or you were a booster who robbed our fucking cars and didn't give us our kickback. You know, we had, you know, the areas locked down in Brooklyn, and that's just the way we live. We grew up. That's natural. The kids knew it. You want to come with us, you got to work from the floor up or whatever it is. If you were a fucking booster or something and you think you're going to boost cars in our area, or you're going to bookmake in our area, you're going to sell drugs, who the fuck you think you did? You don't think we earned this shit, motherfucker?
Yeah.
And it didn't work. So I understand what you did.
Yeah.
At that point, okay, now you end up, when do you realize you got a problem?
So this is what happened. It's like, so once I got caught, well, I really didn't get
what
caught.
What year is this now?
2018.
You get caught for the burglarizing in 2018?
Yeah, I hate
who caught you?
I hate to say I got caught because they couldn't catch me.
Oh, I like it.
No time could they catch me. Every time that they tried to catch, I got away every single time. And it's crazy because, you know, it was a situation. This
but
where,
just know they would catch you.
Yeah, eventually. Okay.
I don't want you to think because we all know
and
that.
And for the record, like, you, like to anybody who thinking, oh, I'll never get caught, that doesn't happen to any of us.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a fairy tale. So, and it's like, so I was doing something and I was on a roof, you know what I'm saying? Just up there fucking around and making noise. And then, long story short, they surrounded me. And then when they surrounded, they had a whole building surrounded and somehow I just disappeared.
You got away.
Still got away.
Love it.
So,
of course
you know
did. These fat fucking cops with fucking belts, they can't fucking catch fucking my mother who's 91.
Yeah, so. So what happened was I found my vehicle, got in the vehicle, and they had some type of little road block off. So I pulled right up to them, and I was like, can y'all move out of the way? Because I'm trying to get through. And the lady's like, what? Get out the car. And right, yeah, so I was like, no, it was over with. You know what I'm saying?
When they caught you?
Yeah, I screwed myself. I ran right into them in the car. You know what I'm saying? So I never got caught in the act of doing anything.
So how did they prove it was you on the roof?
They didn't have to. They didn't have, they had clothes and stuff in the
car.
Oh,
you had some stuff.
Yeah,
okay,
some shit like that. You know, they hit me with a lot of crimes that actually had nothing to do with. You know what I'm saying? Like once they get you with one crime, they're like, oh, yeah, he did all the rest of that, too. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's basically what happened to me. I like,
you know, they talk that, but it's the same with the drug game. You know, you sell one guy for a gram or let's just say an ounce. And they'll say, oh, he sold them an ounce for every week for 2 years, and they're going to put 150 ounces on you.
Yeah.
You know, ghost dope, we call that.
So check this out, right? So I know you're going to feel this because this is where the anger came in. But I found out I had a problem when I actually went to jail, and I sat down and thought about, like, what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what drove me to this point? Because I'm not that person at all. You know what I'm saying? Like what?
Teddy, you're a normal young kid, man.
Yeah. So like, all this money I'm getting, where is it going to? And I thought about it's going to gambling. And I have like, when you take all your money and you're risking your freedom and all that, and you just put it towards gambling, you're not winning no money. I sucked. You know what I'm saying?
Hope you got better.
No, I still gamble to this day, but I'm gonna get into that.
You control it now.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And it's all about who you put yourself around and the people that you're around. And I'm around a total different type of people now. So. At that time, I was like, yeah, that's when I realized it. So I got out, I bonded out, and I was angry, though, because I thought I was so good and so slick, and I was so mad that they caught me. You know what I'm
18,
saying?
So you're 6 years old. You're 33, so you're 27.
At that time, yeah, 28. Yeah. So I got out, and I'm like, oh, they're finna get it now. I'm finna go ham now. That was my mindset. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I'm here now, right?
Yeah. So I didn't do any more crimes, but I was still in the mindset of getting ready to do something. And then, you know, I was coming over the bridge in Merritt Island, speeding in a truck, and I guess she had a speedometer on. You know what I'm saying? And hit me with the
Merritt Island shit.
Yeah, coming over the bridge from one of the clubs that night, and she hit me with it and got right behind me and hit the lights, and I had no reason.
I had no reason to run.
And I pulled over to the Hooters on 520. Everybody knows that. And I'm like, I'm not getting caught. Like, I don't like getting arrested. I just don't like it. I was driving.
Nobody does, just to let you know, Teddy.
So I was driving on a suspended. So, okay. You know, and,
big deal.
And I was already out on bond. So I was like, all right, I'm finna hang out. I'm finna make her get me. And the reason why I know it's a her, because I figured out who the officer was. So she walked up to the tail light of the car, the truck. And as soon as she got to the tail light, I hit it, cut the lights off, and it was nighttime and disappeared in the dark.
Oh, and you ran?
Yeah, in the truck.
Did she already had your plate number?
Yeah, I didn't care. She didn't know who I was. You know what I'm saying? But I messed up because
they're gonna run the plate.
Yeah. So yes, but it, Yeah. So
yeah. Not smart, Teddy.
It's not. It, like I said, I don't have a license.
It doesn't matter. The car's registered to somebody.
I just wanted to get away. You know what I'm saying? That was my impulse. You know what I'm saying? And I'm tired of it. They was beating me out of my own game, and I was sick of it. So I got away, got out the truck, and got away. And it had the helicopters and the dogs. And, you know, I was in a secluded area that I'm not going to say because it was so funny, and I was right there in the middle of them. So I got away.
Now you got to say.
Yeah, so...
Well, yeah. Where was it?
And so, yeah.
Where
so,
was it?
Nah, I'm not, because I wanted to leave it.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm in. So where was it? Where was it?
We don't know. Come on, man.
Come on. You got to tell us.
No, we ain't got to
tell. So let's just say I was right there in the middle of them. So like,
oh, so they were around you?
I was right in the middle of them. It's so sad. I can hear their walkie-talkies and everything. I can hear them. The dog was
You were in the middle
me.
Of the cops or
just,
the gate?
And the dogs couldn't smell you?
Just put it like this. I'm going to say it, okay?
Yeah.
There was a dock.
Okay.
And there was water. And I was right up underneath the dock. And all the
in
police,
the water.
And all the police were standing on the dock. And the dog
Black
was,
guys don't swim though.
Here's the thing.
I can swim.
But here's the thing, right? The dog, they scented my smell, and I got into the water and got that smell off of me. And I stayed underneath the dock the whole time. So the dog couldn't smell me.
Wow.
He was just smelling.
Good move. Good
he
move.
He was just smelling. So I stayed there for a while.
Quiet as fuck. Yeah, right up against the stanchion.
Yeah. So eventually, being there so long, you know, they're like, this is petty. We're gone. So when they left, I left. I went home and, you know, I told my friend, I'm like, I screwed up. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I ran from them in the truck. Just call the police when they get there and tell them your truck's stolen or something. I don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when the police come, he say, hey, go ahead and sign this paper right here and tell me what happened. So when I reached out to sign the paper, he grabbed my arm. He like, put your hands behind your back. I'm like, what? Put your hands behind your back. So I'm like, all right. So he arrests me, and I get in the car, whatever. And I'm like, this ain't over with. That's all I can think about is like, this is not over with, right? So boom, he's taking.
So he arrests you, not knowing anything. You don't.
Yeah, he didn't know what's going on. They just told him that's the person. So they arrested me. I'm riding to the jail, and we're on 95. They're going to meet another officer to take me there. And I start panicking in the back, and I fake the heart attack. And I start catching a seizure in the back seat, and the officer pulled over and called the ambulance. And when he pulled over and called the ambulance, they put me into the ambulance. And the paramedics knew I was bullshitting.
They got you.
But it's protocol. When something's wrong with your heart, they gotta treat you.
Yeah.
So and I was aware of that from county jail and being in locked up. So they took me to Woolstock Hospital, and I was really angry. But I had a plan, and the plan was stupid, but it was funny to me. So the officer's sitting in there with me, and there's no way for me to get away. I'm handcuffed to the bed. So I asked the officer. I said, "You ever been in military?" He's like, "Nah." So I was like, "You ever played sports?" He's like, never. I said, so if a man unarmed was running from you, would you shoot him in the back? He said, absolutely not. I said, you're a good officer. But right then there at that moment, I knew he was a sucker. And I was going to get him. And, you know, and that's my mindset then. I look at it like, damn, I just went through all this shit for nothing just to get more years in prison. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a joke to me then. But now it's just like, what was I doing? Yeah. But it was funny. And
he's growing up.
So I told, so when they came back in, it was like, there's nothing wrong with him. You can take him. So I was like, I can't feel my legs, though. I can't walk. And he's like, all right, get him a wheelchair. See, the reason why I wanted a wheelchair is because when they put me in that wheelchair, the officer can't put the cuffs behind me and hold his arm under my arm like when they transport you. He can't put his arm around me. So he has to push me in the wheelchair. So now my feet are dangling, right? So I got the handcuffs in front of me sitting in a wheelchair getting ready to be pushed out the hospital.
Shit, you can outrun these fuckers in handcuffs.
Oh, and I ran track.
Yeah. So you outran him with the handcuffs in front of you?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? You think I could catch him?
Yeah. So
and I'm in better shape than those fucking
cops. Handcuffs in front of you? God damn.
Yeah. Sure. And a track kid?
Yeah, I ran track. So this is
27.
Yes. So so when he got out to the truck, he told me to stand up against the police truck and put my hands on the truck. When he does that and he pulls the wheelchair from underneath me, I take off. And I didn't even take off in full speed. I was prancing because I wanted to make sure I had enough energy when I actually get to an extent, because I know he's not fast, so I don't have to really take off.
So when you make a turn where you don't know where you're going, that's when you blast it.
Yeah, at a set pace. And I get away, and then once I get to where I want to go, I cross the street, and then that's when I really take off into the woods. So I look back, and you know, I give it to him, though. One thing he did do is keep trail of me, though. He didn't just give up. Because by him keeping trail, he knew exactly where I was at. And that's when West Melbourne and Sheriff's Department, they had the whole nine yards.
West Melbourne? So did he shoot you?
Yeah. So this I'm going to get to the end of the story.
Keep going.
So,
it's good.
So this is where it ends. I'm in the woods, and I'm up under the leaves and stuff. And the helicopter at the top, he's trying to use his propeller, whatever you call it, to blow the bushes so he can
the
see.
Weed.
So he's like weaving back and forth, and I'm just looking at him like this, and he can't.
And where are you? Where are you at? I know the county.
Directly across the street on Wickham, and in Egali, West Melbourne area, across from Woolstoff Hospital.
No, I know. I know. There's a car wash there too somewhere.
Yeah. So like
right? Isn't there a car wash? Like you.
Yeah. There is a car wash. Right. Yeah. It's a little further down. So, anyway, so I left my shoes behind at the hospital. So the dog is scenting off of the shoes. So he's smelling, the dog's smelling. The police can't find me.
Right.
But the dog can. Right. The helicopter can't see me, but the dog can
smell. And you're under leaves, so they can't even get heat sensors on you.
Nah, none of that. So I didn't think about the dog. I never dealt with a dog, and besides that night before with that situation, I didn't think about that whole dog thing. So I'm sitting there, and I hear him getting closer and closer. And
the dog, you hear the dog?
Yeah, they're holding him, and they tell me, they say, Teddy, just come out. We're going to get you. And there's all type of people, like people in normal clothes and stuff searching. Like, oh, it looked like they had, like, citizens that were just helping them. I don't even know. So as they're closing in on me, I see the dog. And he's actually a smaller canine. And he stops, and he just locks in. And he looks, and he totes his nose up like that. He just starts going crazy. So
and you're seeing this.
I see it. Yeah, I'm underneath the leaves.
But you're looking.
Yeah, and I'm looking, and the officer say, "Let me see your hands." And as soon as he said that, I put my hands up like this, and I had handcuffs on, and I put my hands up. He's like, "Don't move, don't move." They get up on me, and they let the dog go on me.
Oh, after you put your hands up, they let him bite you anyway.
They let the dog go on me, and I surrendered. And
see, you know that's just so unnecessary.
Yeah. So after that, and not only did they let the dog go on me, they let it ride for a good 30 to 45 seconds.
So he bites the shit out of you. Yeah. You got to get stitches.
So I'm screaming and all this stuff. So I'm hearing the officers, and I've been waiting to speak about this, but I never been a tight dude. Oh, I'm going to press charges.
No, I know what you're saying.
I didn't care. You know, it's a cat and mouse game, and they caught me. I let it go. So the officer says, "You want to drag him out or you want to pick him up and walk him out?" And they're like, "No, because they got the cameras out, the news and all that shit." So they pick me up and walk me out. So I'm hopping, tears come out of my eyes, hurt, pissed off. You know what I'm saying? So right before the officer puts me in the car, he says, "Hey, no hard feelings back there, right?" And I look at him and said, "No, we good. We're good." Because he knows he fucked up, and he knows they tortured me back then.
Right.
I don't give a fuck. I've been through so much shit in life. I can give a shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he's like, "All right, we're gonna take you to the hospital and get you checked out." And I was like, "You sure y'all want to do that again?" And you know what I'm saying? So anybody knows me, they know I'm a fucking comedian.
To be real with you,
I'm not really a criminal though. You know, I just got some fucked up situations in life, and I fucked up. Life is a joke, and it's all about laughing. If I can get a laugh out of somebody, it makes my day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what happened, and then I end up going and then they hit me with a whole bunch of burglary charges that wasn't mine. I told them not pleading out to those, and I plead out to the ones.
They tried to give you some shit that weren't yours.
Yeah, they do that all the time. They want to close cases. Sam.
Yeah, so they actually hit me with escape, and I thought that was resisting arrest, and it wasn't. Once you're handcuffed, that's escape.
Yeah.
So they hit me with escape. Yeah,
you're considered contained once they put handcuffs on you.
Correct, fleeing and eluding,
and
a couple burglary charges. And so once I talked to my lawyer and I'm like, "Hey, all that, those other charges, I'm not taking no charge for anybody. So all that other shit, we'll just go to trial and all that, unless they got some type of plea." So they said 5 years. And you know, anybody who did time, 5 years sounds like candy. So I was like, "I'll just take that," because I'm thinking about a lot of shit that I did. Bro.
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
I'm you like, know, when I got caught, I'm like, "Jesus, 12 years? Is it 12 years sentence? I'll take it.
Yeah.
Take it. Yeah. I'm happy. I walk back there like a fucking kid with a heart on."
Yeah.
You know? Fuck, these kids are crying. I got my abuse. Fuck you. I'm going to a penitentiary for fucking ever.
Definitely. So that's what happened. And I'm just going to skip straight to it. And so I end up going to prison, and they sent me straight to the most fucked up prison I possibly could have went to me. And that was Taylor CI. And that was straight gangland.
Where was it?
Taylor. It was bullshit. You know, you go out there, somebody, the butler first, the whole Klansman fucking working there. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Oh, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, he was telling me about the Klansmen that wore the sleeves.
Yeah, so
Sam, let me tell you something about that. That they actually had two cops at a Christmas, Florida, were actually KKK members.
Oh, it's real. Officers. It's real.
You know
they,
that.
Yeah, they had an investigation there at Butler.
Yeah, they
sent an undercover in there, and he set them all up, and they took them out. But they're still there. They're all family.
I was just gonna say they don't do any. Listen, the whole system. We'll get into that in other shows.
But so that's crazy though, Larry. Like for a guy like me, when he says to me, like literally, like the guards have Klan's tattoos, but they cover them up.
They have the swastikas.
They have the shamrocks. Yeah. They have
So they cover them up when the people, when the inspectors come around, they put the long sleeves on so they can't see them.
But they wear them normal.
Yeah, they be gabbing their sleeves and eat that bullshit. But you know, we all, the inmates and the officers got a mutual agreement in there. You stay out the fuck out my way, stay out of yours type
Bingo.
Shit.
Bingo. And they're making the money with the drugs, and I can go on and on about that. Yeah.
So anyways, but this time was different for me. I'm not even going to lie to you.
When did you go away? This last time.
What year?
Yeah. The last time.
2019 at the end.
2019 when I started YouTube, actually.
Yeah.
I started YouTube in November of 2019.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what fucking YouTube was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now look at me. But, and that's when you went away.
Yeah.
And so you got out when?
2023.
So you just got out. You just did 4 more years.
Yeah.
Okay, you did 4, and where'd you get released from?
Everglades, CI, down south.
Yeah.
That's part of my story.
75, you can't know it.
And that's part of what I'm going to tell you. So I'm going to tell you how this played out.
Absolutely.
So they sent me straight up north Florida, and not almost to Panhandle, but like they sent me there, and I was like, I'm screwed. You know what I'm saying? Like this is it for me. Like I'm finna go in, like. It's all bullshit, bloody shit going on, people fucking each other up. This part of prison's condemned, it's getting shut down, they're moving us. It's a bunch of bullshit going on, and it's not my cup of tea, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting there, but I'm still staying out the way, though. You know, I'm not doing nothing wrong, but I'm still staying the fuck out the way.
You got 5 years, so it's not like you're doing, like, you know, life, you know?
Yeah.
Because you get life, then your mindset's a whole different animal.
Definitely. So I stayed out the way for about a year. But I forgot that when I was at the reception center, I talked to the lady and she was like, "You want to get any programs?" I was like, "Put me in everything good. I need to change my life." She said this in my ear. She's like, "All right, just stay good for a year." But I forgot that she said that because when they sent me to that prison, I was like, "What the fuck, bitch? Like, where'd you send me?" You know what I'm saying? So anyways, a year came up and I had just got into a fight the night before. I fought this dude, and I was all busted up, and he was busted up.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you can still go to bed, dude. I did that. Yeah.
So, and I'm in there, and I'm like, I just want to get the fuck out of here, dog. This ain't my lifestyle.
And you've been in, now you're at 30 years old, maybe?
Yeah. Like
about 30.
About 30.
29, 30.
Yeah, 30 years old. So
you're 30 years old. You've been in a while. You're starting to grow up a little bit. You're saying, what the fuck? I've been doing this shit. Now you're the old head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, it's crazy. Like when I go there, it's like, oh, there's the OGs, you know, like the old guys that have been around.
Yeah.
Now you're that.
Yeah.
And you're saying, how many times, let me ask the truth, have you told a kid, man, don't do this, kid. You're stupid.
It's crazy because I thought I'd never be that person.
And you are.
And multiple times.
See?
Have I done that?
I told you, Sam. I'm going to say like you're not here.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't take that as disrespect. He's grown up. He's the kids that will make a big difference in this world because he's been there, and now he's made his mistakes that could have fucking ruined his life.
Catch a life.
He had some breaks. He realizes them now. You don't realize them when they happen. And he's at that point where you start changing lives. I went to prison at 34, and I didn't get out till 46. Talk about fucking life up.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the best years of your life, fucking, money-making,
your kids.
Mind signed, 34 years old, my kids are everything.
He missed
worst
his
part
kids.
Of my life.
You missed your kids being born.
Shit, I'm 34. My daughter's 15 months old. I get out, she's 13. My son was 7. I got out, he's 18. I missed all the years of my kids' lives. But it is what it is. I'm close with him. We're good. And he is, I don't mean, like I said, I like hearing these stories because you're going to affect people.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you should do. You know, when you were in there, like I was in there, when I got out of prison, I was 46, and I And I was really bad in prison because I was fighting the system. Mm-hmm. I tried to fight them physically. I was in the hole for 3 years. The hole. Wow. Straight. A year straight and then 6 months, 8 months. And I tried to fight them physically, and I was a fighter. So I was a good fighter. Doesn't matter. You lose. Yeah. You know that.
You're going to.
Goon squads. Yep. Forget it. And then now.
What's the goon squad?
Oh, fuck. You know, they come. The short teams come in the hole. I'd flood my cells. I'd do clean everything. You know. I fucking, they rock your world, man. I've been shocked. I've been concussion grenaded, maced in the face, you name it. I thought I was going crazy because I was fizzy and I broke. Look at all the marks on the knuckles. See them? Look at that. Fucking crazy. It's all fucking knuckles, teeth, and I thought it was the right thing to do, but it's the wrong thing to do. Obviously, when I got respect. Is when I got my law degree and I started using the lawyer.
Oh, they love you. Everybody knows you.
They know.
The inmates do. I'm not the.
They hate you. Yeah, the other people hate you. Oh, yeah. But the inmates, man. Oh, Lord, what can we do?
Yeah, but that's how we change and help
others. He is such a great example of mature. You growing up.
Yeah.
And it's just the nature of growing up. Listen, just because you're growing up, again, doesn't mean you can't. Party doesn't mean you can't have fuck. You can't mean you have crazy shit. Now, I do all that. But there comes that point when I know I have a responsibility, whatever it is, whether it's with Sam, whether it's with Nick, whether
your,
it's
your granddaughter.
My grandkids. Kid, right. You know, I have 2-3 grandkids.
Yeah.
And I look at that, and I'm still a crazy fucking wild motherfucker. Yeah. You want a party with me.
Yeah.
You want a party. You do, too.
Come on.
You. Sam, you got to go. You're married.
I got it.
Sam, you're married. You got to go. Yeah. We're all single, right?
Yeah.
And if we're not, who cares? We're all fucking around.
That's right.
No, he realized that. Because most people don't realize that, Teddy. They realize, oh, you got to be this. No, you don't. You be you. You can party. You can do this. Listen, I respect everybody. Everybody. But I'm not going to fucking live my life because they don't like the way I am or the way I'm going to live my life because I respect everybody. Now, I understand. Some people don't party. Some people do. Some people go to church. Some people don't. Does not matter. I'm not religious. I've read the Bible 5 times, cover to cover. The Quran 3 times. I read the Torah. What a fucking racket that is. Don't even get me on fucking.
Don't start.
No. What a racket. Let me sell salvation. No product. No tax. What a fucking gig this is, man. Where am I missing the fucking boat? Sell somebody salvation you can't prove? But forget that. Whatever it takes for a person to get by, I'm all for too.
Definitely.
So it does not matter. But I look at a 33-year-old guy like you, and I really want to introduce you to some groups. You come speak with me one day.
Oh, for sure. Because, on your program.
Yeah, because, you know, you're the kind of young kid that, like, say, I come from. What you did and are is so fucking what I grew up with. But we were worse because we didn't have the technology.
Yeah.
You know? So we fucking, you couldn't catch us, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I look at you and I say, there's such a message for you right now to give to a 20-year-old or 15-year-old. Because they think they're invincible.
Right.
And you did too. And so did I.
Absolutely.
And guess what? We're not. We're lucky to be free. You get a bad judge, attempt to murder, you're gone. You're out for 20. You get another bad judge, fucking hate you because you're a black kid. You're done another 10.
You're done.
And you, but listen, you speak well. Obviously, you're
always sharp.
You're a comedian. Yeah. I'd love to see you on stage. No, I love comedians. I mean, listen to me. I can be funny too, but I love comedians. And I know a lot of them. And it's a tough thing. I mean, I'm enough online and with a lot of those guys. It's we all are crazy. We all party. We all do crazy shit. But we're also responsible enough that listen. Sam knows me well. Sam is good for me, trust me, because he keeps me in that little check when I do want to push myself. And I don't mean to party him. He knows I do my thing, but I'm always here to work. I'm always here to do a video. Always here to do something. If he tells me we got a show, you know.
And it's a good gig, though. Teddy makes music, too.
You do. We got to use your music.
He's sharp.
I love music.
You got to use your music on my show. Because that's what I was telling Nick before the show. What's going on? Because sometimes I'll play a little background music.
Yeah. He loves the rappers.
Fuck, you know who mine is? Fucking, of course, T Grizzly. First day out. Oh, the fuck don't love
T Grizzly.
I'm having him on my show. I did videos on Juice WRLD.
That's another one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like rap, and the people. Larry, I like a lot of the. Listen, I'm very, I like Sinatra. I like T. Grizzly. Yeah. T. Grizzly, I laugh at him. I can't wait to talk to him. He robbed the jewel. No, he robbed the fucking pawn shop.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
he made it look a lot bigger than what it was.
Yeah, no, he's great, though. I like him. I love First Day Out. I love a lot of his songs. I like certain rappers. And, you know, I like all music. I like, you know, my favorite artist is Paul Simon. I mean, fucking smoking weed back in the day. It's my music, older. But so I look at it and taking a 33-year-old like yourself with good people around you, like, you know what made me just think you're catching it? See, I'm not, I've done every drug in the book.
Yeah.
I'm pro-drugs, period. Done every fucking drug in the book. Really, yeah. And listen, it's how you handle it.
Absolutely.
Just like gambling, you could tell anybody, quit. No. I don't teach that. I teach you control it. Don't let it control you. Right. Hear what I just said? It. But it's the it. That it could be gambling, pussy, food,
whatever,
drugs. I don't, the it. You control the it. Don't let the it, don't let a woman control you. Nothing, you're beautiful. You know what I meant. Don't let a woman control you. Don't let drugs control you. Don't let gambling control you. Don't let food control you. Don't let, you know, you fight whatever you fight. And, you know, we all go ups down. We all have this. Don't ever get down. Don't ever, oh, fuck, I quit. No, I did. No, you're fucking... I got out at 46 years old. I'm fucking, shit, you're 33. Ancient. 13 years, you're 33.
Yeah.
I got out at 46. Worst criminal record than anybody you know.
Yeah.
I pretty much guarantee that. I think 6 convictions, organized crime, fucking violence, tying people up, fucking kidnapping. I got fucking so many charges. And if I can do it, and I'm no smarter than anybody, it's that I try to control what I do to the fact of what you said earlier. I hang around with a guy like Sam. His wife's a beautiful woman. The people I know. Now, listen, I know everybody has motives. Everybody has this. Everybody has, I get it. No problems. I love what I do.
Right.
That's the key.
You got a niche.
You know, like, and a you good know, niche. And you be good. You can come back and we'll do that. I'll give you an open
door. He definitely.
Because that's crazy. Yeah, you just said that.
You know. You're at that age, at 33 years old, that you realize now you're not invincible.
Yeah.
You realize you had your breaks, even though people say, oh, you went to... No, you had breaks, because you could have been a fucking lot worse. Me, I did 4 12-year sentences in one clip, and I said, I got a break. People go, what the fuck? You in the hole, you were tortured, you were strapped down naked, pissed on, all documented. And yeah. I got a break, because I could have been away for life.
Yeah.
I could have been that guy that's either trying to escape or fucking my neighbor or whatever I'm doing in prison. You know what I mean? You're going to live. I don't give a fuck what you do. Prison is prison. Anybody tells you different is fucking bullshit because I've been there. Yeah. I've been there. I lived it and I fucking know it better than 99.9% of the motherfuckers out there. And you're realizing it now at 33.
Yeah.
You got your whole fucking life, Teddy.
I realized it a little before this. That's what I was finna tell you.
Go ahead.
So, like I said, so I just got into a fight, and I was upstairs. I didn't get in trouble or whatever. And the officer comes and wakes me up in the middle of the night, and are you Teddy King? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, pack your shit. You're going to Butler.
Ooh.
And I'm like, nobody wants to go to Butler. You know, that's the medical. That's the worst place. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, damn. So I got into a fight previous to this, and my
did you go? Did they want to send you because of your injury?
That's what I was thinking, and my finger was broke, and I was waiting on an appointment for surgery on my hand. So I'm like, dang, I gotta go to my surgery. So this is what happened. So that's my mindset the whole time there. So I'm riding the bus there, and there's a punk in the back there, like a full tran in the back.
Good looking.
Hit the fuck.
Nah, I fuck him.
And then So they separate us for they because they're all out
they always do
protected custody. So he's like, if anybody wants to know where they're going, they can basically just ask me because I basically know where we're going. And this ride right here, we're going all the way down south. And you know what? You know I know why? Because the prison I gotta go to, there's only 2 of them that's gonna accept me. And one of them I know I'm not going to, and the other one I know that's the only place that accepts. And I was like, so where are you going? So I was like, where are you going then? And then he said, I'm going to Miami-Dade.
So I was like, that's another one out west.
Yeah, so I was like, so why are we going to Butler? So I was like, why are we going to Butler? And the punk's like, oh, we got to go there first, and then they're going to come get us from there, and then we're going to go there. So I'm like, why am I going to Dade, right? So I'm thinking I'm going to Miami-Dade. So anyways, I'm going to skip straight to it. So we ride there. So now the bus driver tells us all, like, certain people's going to South Florida Reception Center, certain people going to Dade, and then they're going to Everglades.
Yeah.
So when,
and the women's prison's out there.
Right. So when they said Everglades, I'm like, what is Everglades? So when I said it out loud, so the punk in the back, he's like, Everglades, it's some fucking get your life together prison where everybody goes, where they, it's sweet, it's fucking candy. And there's no fucking weed there. Like, he wants to go to where it's at.
Hey, so you know, his life is prison.
Yeah, his life is prison. So I'm like,
I feel him.
So I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, shit, what's fuck's wrong with getting your life together? I'm thinking that in my mind. You know, I've never been a follower.
Nah, you can tell.
So in my mindset, I'm like, who cares? Like, I want to get my life together. Who wouldn't? You know what I'm saying? So I get there. I swear to God, I never seen a prison like it.
And now this is 3 years ago.
Yeah. So so I walk in there, and it just looked way different. Like, the officers was talking to the inmates a little too friendly.
So you're saying, whoa, I'm being set up, motherfucker. What the fuck am I doing? Yes. Oh, man, I know that feel.
So when I walked in there, I had my stuff, and the officer's like, the lady's like, how you doing, sir? The CO called me sir, not inmate.
And you're wondering, what? Wait a minute.
I'm thinking it's a setup. I think she's trying to set me up. You know, reckless eyeballing. You can't do none of that with the...
No, you get your beaten in the head for that.
Right, so they can't even call you inmate there. So
they're using the old British model or the German model or the Swedish model.
Yeah, so I've been waiting for this moment to say this. I want to give a shout out to Positive Peer. I want to give a shout out to Circle of Brotherhood. And I want to give a shout out to the whole Everglades CI. And anybody that I knew in there.
Is Everglades CI a private prison?
No, it's not. It's an incentivized prison. It's the first. It's not the only, but it's the first incentivized prison. What it is, it's a new tactic that they're using to try to better the prisons.
I love that.
Larry, that's awesome for you. Oh, yeah, he'll love
you
that.
You know, now you got me all messed up because I am so pro changing the system.
I've been waiting for this moment like a long time to speak about this. And it's actually
we're going to do a whole show on it.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of them now, but Everglades is the real deal. This is where they really go at. This is where they bring the news, and they're showing everything going on. There's trades, there's college, there's dog training. Anything you want to do in there, they got it. They got Dade CI there where you go to college.
Now, question for you. How long were you there?
Not long, like 2 years.
Oh, that's a long time. What do you mean not long? I've never been in prison. They kicked me out of my mother.
It didn't seem long because I was there and I was getting my life together. And I didn't even know I was in prison anymore. And then
that's a plus.
My best friend.
Absolutely, yeah. Sam. You don't even know how excited I am right now. I really mean it.
No, you do a good show on that.
No.
Positive versus negative.
Listen, I am all for positive, anything positive to begin with. And when I could hear a 33-year-old young man tell me, I didn't know it was a prison, I'm getting my life together. They should suck his dick right now. and that ward should suck his dick. And if he's a fat fuck, he should lose weight to let him suck his dick. I mean that. I don't mean... for you. Because so, you don't get that. You don't get that at all. You don't get young men saying, at this age, that's what I told you. He told you... I talked and I saw right away, I said, he's got it together. And it's not because he's growing up. Nobody changed him. The system didn't change him. He changed himself.
Right.
But they gave him the opportunity to change. So they opened your eyes to wait, mate. They're not all fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Most of them are assholes.
Oh, yeah. Nah, don't get it twisted. Prison is still prison. It's just this specific prison. It was very different.
It's the European model, they call it, to be honest. You know, I've testified in Congress on this. So, and I do a lot of work for improving the prison systems. And our system, both state feds and every state, almost every state, is so fucked up because they don't think of it. They want to save money with rehabilitation instead of giving Pell Grants and giving schooling, giving job training, giving actual communication skills training. You know, I'm sure you got all of those. And to hear that that's being done now, because you're the first dude that's been telling me
that. I'm surprised, yeah. You didn't know that.
First dude's been telling me that.
It's very real.
And, you know, I went to the state of Florida. I have a program that I can guarantee that I can reduce violence in prison. Reduce violence. And by having See, every prison has what they call ACA, which is American Accreditation Association. You know, when they come in and inspect the prison and all that bullshit. They call it the ACA. Well, it's all bullshit. I want to put together a team of me.
There you go. Teddy.
A Teddy, a ex-guard, a ex-administrator, an ex-nurse from the facility, maybe an ex-warden. And we then have authority to go into any prison we want at any time we want on a Sunday at 10 at night and inspect that prison without any pre-notions that we're coming.
Right.
Because what they do is when they know you're coming, they fix that fucker. They give you the chicken. Yeah. You know the bullshit they do. And it's such crap. I used to laugh. I thought, what a fucking joke this is, you know, because they do everything and nothing changes.
Yeah.
And now you get the right prison where I know how I can tell the kids in the prison. I can go into a prison he was in and talk to the inmates and they'll know that, one, I'm real. Two, they're going to know that I can protect them if they tell me what's going on in this prison because that's what they're worried about. Fuck, I'll tell you and then you leave and I'm dead in this fucking prison. No. I know how to do it where I can protect them, where they'd have to get a phone call to our office every day. We would know. Or if they wanted to transfer, we'd give them that. And I don't mean just to get. I would know if they would bullshit me. I'd know who the guards are. We found prisons already that they literally changed the filters out only during inspections. So if you walked into the prison when it was not inspected, you'd go into a filter system. It would be so fucked up. People breathing this shit, and they do that to save a few dollars on the filters. And then you know what they do during inspections with an inmate. They'll take an inmate who's a rowdy, bad inmate, and they'll put him and hide him in the back of the shoe.
Yeah.
Old shoe. You know,
make
you
it look all good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, normal. And meanwhile, that guy's throwing feces against the wall and writing demonic stuff on the wall. I'm telling you, I see some shit that will fucking make you puke.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I mean. Absolutely. I've been in a hole for fucking 3 years, so you can imagine what I saw in that fucking place.
Oh, yeah.
Maximum security. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Guys got beaten so bad, they're broken. And when they went in the SWAT team, they literally snapped. You hear a piece of wood break, and they snapped his leg like a fucking piece of wood, and he comes out on a gurney, flat, and his one leg is literally, and it hits the door, and it's fucking, he's screaming. I see some crazy shit, and they beat me, but I always used to say, even when they beat me, there was always someone worse off than me. You know, I watched a black guy, a friend of mine. I really felt for this guy. He was a Vietnam vet. He had no legs. Mm-hmm. And I got to talk to him through the doors in the hole. And they let him shit himself. They wouldn't feed him. Even the lieutenant in the hole, you know, lieutenant runs the hole.
Yeah.
He fucking come up to my back of my door because he knew I was writing senators at this time. And he goes, if anybody saw this video, they'd be in jail here, meaning the administration. Because he wanted to get rid of the guy. You know, he couldn't help him. They don't have the staff. They don't have any people. And this guy was a veteran. And what I seen him do to a human being, I ended up writing. It's in an article right now. You can look this article up. They ended up beating me real bad for that article. But it helped because it changed a few things. And I think
yeah,
the only
you
reason,
change a little bit, absolutely.
I think what they did, Sam, is they didn't kill me because I had so many senators and very, very high officials backing me up. And you know, you get to that point where, oh, if he died, now it's a fucking investigation, you know?
Yeah.
Because they do kill motherfuckers, and you know that.
That's
you've been there.
I've seen
you've seen it, and I know you have. But to hear what you're telling me now, and what's the name of the prison?
It's called Everglades CI.
Everglades CI, man. Whatever you are, whoever you are, if I can hear from somebody from Everglades CI, a warden, a staff member, I would love to talk to you. And it's not going to be a bury you interview. It's going to be a what are you doing right and how do you get the authorization? How can we make this happen more? Because obviously they changed you.
I can definitely make that happen.
Make that happen.
And this is...
You be here with me and we'll get the call in right here. I can do it right here.
So this movement within that prison is really powerful. It's like it's deeper than just that prison. So check it out. So when I get there, I get my stuff, and I really don't know what I'm walking into yet. I didn't even know where I was going. And it all started from that lady that I told that I want to get sent somewhere to get my life together, and she took me serious. So I get...
You know her name?
I cannot remember now.
Where was she at?
At CFRC, Orlando Reception Center.
She's at the older one right off 520. 528.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to that one, too. Whoever you are over there, I hope somehow people can know because you changed one guy's life. And if that's all you were meant to do, good for you.
So, and it's crazy because it takes one. If you can just change one person's life, that's good enough. Oh, because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what she did. It's good just you, not my life that she changed, because I changed a lot of lives there on my exit out of that too. So what happened is, I get there and I really don't know what I want to do. I don't know. I don't know what I'm here for yet. I'm thinking, you know, usually when you get to prison, you put your back against the wall, you check out the dorm, make sure everything is, you know what I'm saying? So this time is different. And I'm seeing a lot of people walking with books. I'm seeing people talking about stuff, college and school and business and stuff like that. So that at that point, I wanted to find myself and what I needed to do. I'm all right. Thank you. So I go, you know where you get your job and you go and they ask you what you did for a living and you tell them. So I was like, I haven't done anything. He's like, what are you good at? I was like, I've cut hair in the past.
Cat burglar.
Yeah.
Stay on the course.
So I tell them, I said, I've cut hair in the past. They're like, well, we got barber school finna start here. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, you want to get involved? And I was like, sure.
And this is CI over Everglades.
Yeah, and it's the real deal, barber school. It's real. You get your certificate and you get your license there.
That's pretty cool.
You take the state test. Yeah, the exam. So so I was like, all right, I'll do that. So within 2 months when they started the school, I was in barber school. My barber school teacher, I can't think of his name right. That starts with a C. He's going to be mad at me. But so when I get in there, he's one of those type of dudes that really cares about who he's teaching, and he's teaching about credit. He's teaching about buying houses, and when you get out, this is what you need to do. It's so when you get this,
he's a mentor.
Yeah, definitely. So Mr. Carter is his name.
Shout out to Mr. Carter.
There you go, Carter.
So now I'm in there, and I'm getting therapy. I'm getting everything in one. I'm getting a trade. I'm getting something. So that goes by, and in the midst of that, I'm like, so when I leave that, it's only a couple hours. I still got more time on my hands. So I'm like, I need to do something else, because if not, I'm just gonna be playing coke, poker, doing something. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be bored.
You realize your problem now. You got to stay active.
Yeah. And so busy. So I seen they got classrooms and classrooms where they let the inmates teach classes. Like if you know anything about credit, you can start your credit class there. Anything like that, you can start it. So now I walk by a class and I see this class full of people in there. So I'm listening, and they're talking about helping the youth and changing the youth and getting on the youth within the prison, 25 and under, getting on their asses and trying to get in their head because they're fatherless and they need grown men to step in.
Mentor.
Yeah. So I'm like, people actually give a fuck in prison? Like, for real? So I'm
not
like,
often.
So,
and you're not used to that.
So I'm standing by the door, and I see a lot of my homeboys I know. So like, Teddy, come on in. So I go in there, and it's called Positive Peer. And it's not, and who's over it? I can't remember his name either, but this goes all the way to Washington. They know about this positive peer group, and it's really for youth offenders, but it's more old heads in there coming up with plans and tactics.
But we did.
And we're working together, and we're putting it on the pound, and we're speaking to them. So anyways, I became a part of that, and that was something that I did on the daily. So I became like I was played a big part in that because I was probably one of the youngest ones part of that group, because it's really hard
to became a mentor.
Yeah, it's hard to get people my age or any younger to be a part of that because they're like, I want to hear shit from you, grandpa. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're an old head. You fucked up. Yeah. I'm not going to fuck up like you.
Until you get to that age
where
you realize how much knowledge they have.
Right. So I've never been that person. I'm not a follower. I did not hang with people my age or younger than me.
But you do know they never wanted you to follow.
Never.
They wanted you just to not make the mistakes they did and move on in life.
That's correct. So now I'm a part of that. And so I'm in the dorm one day, and they do like these little rap talent things in there. People on stage, they be rapping. And I know deep in my heart, I'm a great artist. And I know that. But I spent so much time in my life making music, being around. I just felt like I'm just going to be quiet. Because
what kind of music?
I do hip hop. And
hip hop rap.
He's talented.
So
we're gonna hear it.
So I'm more like, I'm just to the point where I'm like, I'm gonna let them do them. I'm not into prison rap. Everybody comes to prison and want to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just gonna let them do them. But there was people that knew me that wasn't standing for that at all. They was like, bro, if you don't get out there and show these motherfuckers how to rap, I'm so tired of hearing them rap. Just show them who you are. And I'm like, bro, I want to get my barber license. I want to do stuff. So There was this thing coming up, and as far as I remember, it was Mother's Day, and they was going to do rapping for the mothers, and my homeboys was on my ass, and they was like, bro, can you write something for Mama's Day? I'm like, what am I going to write for Mother's Day? You know, I don't really have that type of, you know, I don't care for that.
Right.
So there was a dude in the dorm with a tattoo on his neck that said "Mama tried" on his neck.
That's
and,
seen that before.
And I thought that was so cool to me. Like "Mama tried," like that sounded good. So I'm in the room and I'm like, "Mama tried." That's what I'm finna write. I'm finna write a song called "Mama Tried." So I sat in there and I wrote a story about a boy and his mother, and his mother tried so hard to keep him in the right track, but it went wrong. We can play the song if you want to.
We're coming back.
So
for sure.
So I did that, and I said, "Hey, I'm ready." And he said, "What, you got a song?" Like, "Yeah, let's do it." I go in there and I rap the song, and everybody in front of me, the mothers, the nurses, everybody who came, the warden, not the warden, I ain't gonna say him, but most of the women were in tears and they were just bulging, crying. And nobody can see it but me, because when you're an artist, you can see everybody. They can't
Where
see
is
themselves.
This song?
It's on SoundCloud right now.
Okay. We don't have time, but yeah. We're gonna play. You're coming back. We're gonna do a music thing.
Definitely.
Because, and maybe call an inmate or two.
Yeah.
Maybe one of your guys. Yeah. Maybe we can do that in a joint. Maybe they're on the phone.
And you're going to play that one song for me, too.
I want to do music with you. Because obviously, go ahead, keep going.
So once they seen that, the warden was in there, and he seen that, and he's like, "I want him to rap. Every single time we do something, he better be there. Whatever you got to get him, whatever. Just give it to him. We need more of that. Because now... Now when I'm rapping, the next show, the whole prison's coming now. This is like Drake in a prison.
Yeah, they heard. It's a real fucking rapper here.
Because dude's been in there 30 years. They don't see stuff like this. So it's now they got a real artist. Anyways, the warden told me, he said, "You know, I got connections with the mayor of Florida City. When you get out, I'm going to make sure he hooks you up." The mayor came there, met me. He said, "I'm going to have a show for you in Miami, in Florida City, the first week you get out, you're going to perform in Miami. I want that song, Mama Tried." And that's exactly how it happened. And I exited there, and they called me and stayed in contact with me, and I performed in Florida City. And it all started like that. So.
And how many venues have you played?
Not none, because really, I wanted to speak about that too. Really, I fell kind of back from that because I want to learn how to live in society the correct way. So I took on barbering and I'm cutting hair, and I just want to live my life normally for the moment.
You know, something crazy. I don't want to stop you. It's so funny because he told me a story, and it takes a lot to touch me. When he first got out of prison, he said he didn't even know what to do. Like, he didn't know how to relate to society.
Not at all, man. I couldn't even buy a sandwich.
He was so nervous.
It's ridiculous. And
institutionalized. It was totally institutionalized.
And it's hard to explain to people.
Yeah.
So you keep it a lot to yourself because it's hard to explain.
That's crazy.
And people are like, "What are you waiting for? You got the whole world in front of you."
If you got a year in jail, just a year, you're institutionalized. I guarantee it. And now when I was over a decade, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
You're on 2-3 years, you're fucked up. Because they train you to listen.
Lose.
Listen, there's numbers don't lie. The average inmate makes 100 decisions a day. 100 choices. What am I going to wear today? No choice. What am I going to eat? You got the fucking no choice.
No choice.
What are you going to work? No choice. Where are you going to go?
Right.
No choice. The average person on the street today makes 1,500 choices a day. You're going to get up. You say, "Oh, I'm going to have a cup of coffee." Like I did, cup of coffee. "Oh, I made eggs. I made bacon. I want more bacon. Oh, what am I going to wear? I went... two things that Sam's coming. Fuck, I got to put on pants."
Shoes.
Whatever the whole thing is, you have choices. Well, you go to a prisoner who was in prison, he'll tell you there's no choices. You don't have clothes to wear.
They tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
You get out, it's like, even when people tell you what to do, you think deeply, you go, "Motherfucker thinks I'm stupid."
Yeah.
"Motherfucker, you know, I know how to, I'll figure it out." The worst thing you can do to a person when they get out is take the remote from him and say, "Let me show you." The motherfucker couldn't touch a remote in prison, and now you're grabbing it, trying to say he's stupid.
Right.
Go slow. Say, "Listen, check it out. There's a lot of channels now. If you can't figure it out, I'll help you." Let him play with it for fucking an hour. And you know what? He feels better. The minute people, even family members, don't get that. "Oh, let me help you." They want to help, but they're really down deep. This motherfucker just was told what to do for 10 years.
Every day.
And now you're taking the thing from him, whether you love him or not. But motherfucker thinks I'm stupid. Motherfucker, I can't do it. I can fucking do it. Whether he can or can't, because I can't.
True.
And all of a sudden, It's that little thing. Instead of talking to him like, hey, listen, I'm here to help you. We're gonna get, oh, I got it. That's what you're gonna say. And he's right. I predicted when my brother got out of prison after 9 years, my brother was in there and I said, Dave, because when I got out, I did it wrong. I went from 96 to fucking 2007. I wanted to take a bus back from Forest City, Arkansas. Had money and everything. I got on that bus. I was a vegetable. I literally stopped at a Subway because they told us the bus pulled in. Yeah. We're getting gas. And they said, you can get something to eat. I have money in my pocket, all this. I got online. I looked up and I couldn't make a choice. I started crying. I went back on that bus. I was in the back of that bus. I was so close to, I could have killed somebody so easily just to go back. Because I what saved my life is I got off the, she remembers it to this day. I got off the bus at a stop and I got on the phone with my cousin, who's a life coach and the smartest woman I ever met in my life. I got on the phone with her and she says, Larry, she says, go on the bus, sit on the back of the bus, don't talk to anybody, get to you where you're going. And I felt better when I was incarcerated because I was back, I was going to a halfway house. And I was so fucked up. She says, you have what they call sensory overload. You can't process choices because you haven't done it in so long. And you are getting overloaded. So you revert back to what you know, which is fucking hit the guy next to you. Fucking do that. You know how it is. Yeah. Guy touches you in prison. There's more respect in prison than people know. Because if you bump into me, if you don't say you're fucking sorry, I might stab you later.
Absolutely.
You know absolutely what I mean.
Life can end right there.
Right there. So I look at that with that, and I look at you now, and I look and I say, what a fucking story you have, which has to keep going. And obviously, I told you, T-Grizzly, this. You got to come on here and show us your songs. Definitely. You got to promise me that. And I mean soon. Teddy, we're going to do some things. You have a great, you know, you got to keep doing it. You have to realize, and listen to me, I'm going to give you my number. You have any issues, you can call a convict, you call a fucking convict.
Can I say one last thing, Larry? Yeah. One last thing. And because a lot of
people, absolutely.
I know a lot of people are wondering this, but where I'm at in life right now is I'm absolutely most happiest I ever been.
I love it.
And it doesn't seem like it, but I really am.
No, you are.
And so anyways, when I got out, I took a 9-to-5. Trash. I'm not. I'm gonna just keep it with G.
No, keep
I'm not. I'm not a dishwasher. What's I know working. It's trash.
That's what they worried about me.
I started cranking up gambling again, and I just did it on a regular. But that's what I like to do. That okay. It's just.
Why aren't you a dealer?
It's just me, huh?
Why aren't you a dealer?
I can't. I'm a felon. So I
I don't give a fuck. You're not a felon to friends who I know who have card game.
I don't know. So here's where I want to get at.
Sammy, that's your ticket to helping people.
So here's where I want to get at. I had to refine myself again after getting out. And the reason why I say that is because I had to accept that I actually just do like gambling. You know what I'm saying? And then once I took that acceptance, then it was no longer an addiction.
You control it, and yeah, it doesn't control you.
That's right. And once I accepted that, and I'm like, damn, I'm getting more money gambling than I did at the dishwashing job. And then now I started barbering, and now I'm starting up my barbering, and then boom, there it is.
You hear what I said, though? But gambling could always be hurting, but you're not going to let it. You're not going to let it because
you hit it with your hand.
You are, it was me. You are going to control the it.
So
yep. And don't let that it ever control you.
So here's what happened with that. I was never doing nothing when I was gambling and getting the money. I didn't go nowhere. I didn't explore. I never been nowhere in my life. So I was like, you know what? Let me start doing what I want to do and stop doing what everybody else want me to do. Everybody wants me to be a rapper, but I haven't left the state of Florida in my life. Let me just go. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make music regardless, but let me just go and explore. And that's what I started doing. I took off Louisiana. I took all the Vegas. I took off here, Denver. I went here and there. And I was enjoying myself. And I was gambling in the process and making a lot of money while I was doing it. You know what I'm saying? And then when I came back, I got back to cutting hair, barbering and stuff.
You fucking played Sam.
And that shit. hey, you know what? And you know what? The places that I go outside of the poker room, the places with the friends and stuff, they're really good people. You know what I'm saying? And it's all about who 100%. You surround yourself around. Sure. And
so true.
And believe it or not, how you think I made it here?
Through your friends, yeah.
A conversation at a poker table.
Oh, yeah. We called you the other night when you were working.
You did?
Oh, that's right. We did a screenshot when you were working. Remember?
I remember it. I don't remember the text.
So I'm going to leave it at that. And I just wanted to live, and I'm happy right now. I'm happy where I'm at, man.
You know, Teddy, here's what happens next. You know, you find out what you love, whether it's music, gambling, could be a lot of things. You could figure out where you're at. You're in a great spot. You're not married?
Nah.
No kids?
Nah.
Fucking winner. Be gay. You will be better off. No, seriously, on that kid, you are in such a good spot. You have good people. You brought a nice friend with you, and you know Sam, you know friends. You got me, and I mean that. You can call me about any kind of shit. I've been through more than most, and
you don't judge.
Fuck, you could tell me anything, and fucking I'll give you my hook. But
I'm down for it.
You know what I'm saying? Anything. Yeah. I am very, very, Sam will tell you, I'm very cautious, but very, I'm going to live life. I mean, life is just too short. I'm 62 years old. I'm not a kid. You know, I tell even Sam that. I mean, I'm at that point where I know I got 20 years left. Yeah. If I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And that's not even being morbid. It's just being real. And I'm okay with everything. I try to help more people when I can. I try to meet good people. I think we could do a few things. We'll pop.
You definitely can do some.
I was gonna do a rap song actually.
I'm with
the next guest's son. He's gonna write me a rap song. This is the truth, and he's a good kid too. And because people want to see the old man rap, it'd be funny as fuck. That's for sure. Because I can't sing or dance or probably do anything.
Me neither.
Okay. Well, you're doing good. You're a comedian too.
Yeah.
But we're gonna stay in touch. I love your story, man.
Definitely.
And you do have that attitude of winning. You're not a negative. You know, I often tell Nick and I tell everybody, the only thing you don't want to be in this world is a negative person. I won't hang around negativity. I won't be around it. I don't want to know it. I want people who are the glasses half full. I don't want it half empty. I want people who want to move on in life and get going and have fun doing it. You know, Sam and I are partners and we know it's going to hit. And we believe in it. And there's nobody better for me. Because he's a groundwork guy. He's fucked up on computers and shit. And he asked Nick for my address once a month. You think he'd keep the fucking address? He comes here all the time. But that's Sam. And Sam is really, really good for me. And he's good for people. Because he is very methodical and very...
Yeah, we come from the same cloth.
Totally. You just didn't get caught.
You know... Yeah. All right, let's end this fucking show.
Oh, that's what he does.
Yeah,
you know you're guilty when you say, let's end the show. Nah, he's good. Nah, Sam is really a good father. Sam's ran through his tragedies, and he's a good man, period. And he treats people right, treats people with respect, and that's why he has respect from people. There's a reason people have respect for people. And it's not just because I'm here.
Yeah.
People have respect for me because I tell it like it is. I'm going to tell you to fucking do. Like me or hate me, I can't fucking please the world.
No, but you can't.
Listen to me. You can call me and you'll tell me and I'll say, listen, fucked up.
Yeah.
Come over
right,
here.
Right,
you're
right,
a fucking
right,
idiot.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Still not going to judge you. I'm still going to help you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to do the right things.
Yeah.
But don't ever expect to get an answer you want. It's right. going to be the answer that I believe. And we debate it. And we talk about it. And that's what the old heads... You know, when I was young, I used to hang out with all the mob bosses. And I mean everybody. And I used to shut up and just listen to, man. And boy, you learn the wisdom. There's so many things I've learned that I use today from fucking checking on people and doing things. And it's amazing where you're going to get it. And it's from the worst people. Whether it's a fucking guy who's got 10 bodies or this guy. Listen, we all have good traits and we all have bad traits. We're all who we are in life. And that's what it is. But... I believe in just being so open and honest. I don't give a fuck.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about bullshit and fucking and let's fuck, let's do this. I don't care who you fuck. Have fun. Stop it. Anybody talk anybody about that shit? Listen, there's nobody's right, nobody's wrong. Life is too short, man.
It is.
You're not right. I'm not right. Nobody's right. So we are gonna clap it up. I definitely want to before we leave. You got to come back because I want to hear the song. That, yo, send me the song. I want to hear
and
this.
And it's,
I'm dying to hear the song now.
And look, shout out to it.
And it's petty.
What is the song?
It's called Mama Tried.
Mama Tried. And
what's
where
the other one,
it?
Though?
Can anybody hear it out there?
The other one called Teddy Store.
I want to hear Mama Tried.
Mama Tried, yeah.
Teddy
where
Store,
can we
too.
Hear Mama Tried?
SoundCloud. Petty Teddy 321.
What is SoundCloud? So, Nick, do you know what that is?
It's
It's a music site. So like,
it's like what, Spotify.
It's close.
Juice WRLD. Oh, he's big. He's the biggest Juice WRLD fan in the world.
So let me tell you how to spell it. It's P E D D Y T E D D Y. That's my name. But on SoundCloud, it has a
Patty Teddy.
Petty Teddy. Yeah, it has a 321 on the end. So Petty Teddy 321 on SoundCloud.
Petty Teddy 321.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna look. And it's Mama Try. You can't just Google Mama Try.
Probably not. I haven't put my music up. I just make it. You know what I'm saying?
And it's talent. It's talent. Huh? It's. Oh, with you. Maybe next.
Oh,
there it is.
Yeah, and I like that. Now he knows he's going to push it. He can do that. He's good at that social media.
It's a stepping stone. It's about being around the right people. And I think I'm right here in a good start, right here.
I think I'm all right.
Larry
people.
Lauder.
Ah, I think I'm right people.
Yeah.
Now we got Teddy.
Teddy. Yes, Teddy.
Teddy Teddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, Teddy. Hey, man, glad you're home. Stay home.
Yes, sir.
If you're thinking of making bad choices, call me. I mean, you can call me at fucking 2 in the morning. I just
fucked all of your maybe friends.
Usually at 2 in the morning, I will answer.
Maybe a couple bad calls on a poker table. But
that ain't that bad.
I'm out of that world now, man. Completely turn around.
You know what? That's like all right. That's the case. That's your body. What else? You know, like the fact that listen, you were smoking that money. $3 million. What else? Like the fact that you would put me in prison. You shot him and killed him and told the police I did it. What else? All them lies that you texted my mother. What else? I can't believe you had sex with my brother. What else? We had sex. Say you knew
never
he was sick. He's never gonna
sick
do it
and I'm
the
dying.
Wrong.
How could you do never it like this? Always agree.
No,
and now I'm sick to my stomach. Throwing zero. Up blood every time it, that I vomit.
There is,
every single day I'm getting weaker and weaker. I'm feeling trapped, but I'm hoping I get free from this needle.
And I don't believe in God.
In my arm watching time.
Stop it, let's go.
Overdosing on the
anyway,
ground. I just hope I
Teddy,
die.
Yeah.
I keep thinking
Teddy.
About life
Teddy,
and
Teddy.
I was
Teddy.
Blowing
Teddy.
My high.
Hey, Teddy.
Dear Lord, please don't let me off of my high.
Nothing else to say.
Shout out to Oliva in the house. Don't forget about Cricket Dunn and Cigar.
Yes, Sam, anything else? And what about Nick or anybody?
When everybody laughs at me.
All right, guys. I want
you
to
gave
say,
me life
say,
just to take it
choices.
Away. That's
don't touch anything.
Straight to the woods and hit you dead in your face with the back of the pistol. I thought that I would give you a taste of the blood that's infecting and it's killing me slowly. Don't even try to pray. There's no time to be holy. The devil is here. You better go get ready to die. Don't even cry. Remember, you want it ready to die. Huh? Well, I'm dead now. You coming too. I'm finna put one in your head now. Turn around. I don't even want to see your face. And now you in a better place. Rest in peace and let your soul levitate. The devil smile you will see on Teddy's face as he caught the pistol back. Time for Teddy's fate. Killed myself and now I'm free from a lot of pain. Killing the one you love is the hardest thing. But anyways, y'all can call me Martin King, 'cause I'm telling y'all a story that was all a dream.